Test, test, 1, 2, 3.
Test, everybody's in?
Whoa, everybody's
one, two.
In.
Okay.
Woo. Look at us go.
Right.
Okay. We already have our intro recorded.
Yeah,
remember
like
from...
Your intro music is cool.
Yeah, so that's going. And we had Emily Feltman do our little... She did a little
test,
like...
Test, test, 1, 2, 3.
Test, 1, 2.
Which is very cute, so we'll put that in there somewhere.
Your Pastor Matt.
Yes. Oh, sorry. I'm getting my...
We were not prepared to
no.
start.
No.
Okay. We're going to restart? Or this is... We're just...
No, we're just going. Okay.
Okay.
Welcome to Continuing Conversations. My name is Pastor Matt.
I already did that. Your Pastor Matt.
I'm Pastor Matt. Your Pastor Dana.
And guest Ron Balls.
And guest Ron Balls is with
Balls
us today.
Is here.
Thank you, Ron. Ron, you may notice and recognize that name either because you're a member of All Saints Lutheran Church or you remember that he helped put together with Kathy the message we had a couple weeks ago
in
our Beatitudes.
Yep.
That was just last week.
Yeah.
Boy, this time
merciful.
Is flying.
I enjoyed all your comments on that, too. Okay. Thank you for saying all that about it.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you writing it and putting it together. It was very well written and well delivered by Kathy as well. So, this has been a lot of fun having guest speakers come in and speak to this.
Mm-hmm. How much of that one did you write?
About half of it.
Okay. You guys really did do it together.
We did. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then she always likes to edit what I write, so.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
It's good. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Everybody needs that a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of housekeeping at the top of the show, first of which is I'm sorry about the left ear problems. If you were listening to last week's podcast, Continuing Conversations podcast, and you realized that the sound was only coming through your left ear, there's nothing wrong with your car speaker or your headphones or whatever.
Or your head.
Or your head. Yeah,
there
might be something wrong with your head. But that is not the reason why it was coming through the left side. It's all my fault.
No, you're just learning a lot.
I'm learning. Yes.
About tech production.
Seminary does not.
You have the right side plugged in.
We've got the right side plugged into.
Okay,
this little interface we're using here has a left side and a right side input for some reason. I don't know why that's a feature of this machine. Why would anybody want to record just one side of the audio, I guess? But I recorded it and uploaded it in stereo instead of in mono. So we had this weird thing where it was just one channel coming through. And you only got the left side. So I'm going to be uploading these podcasts in mono from now on.
That's great.
So smart. Add this to your job description, you know?
Exactly.
This is the, like, other duties as assigned.
Or we could keep the one side, other side thing and do, like, a binaural weird ASMR thing where we could be like, we're circling around your head.
Nope.
It'd be weird.
No,
yeah,
we're
weird.
Not doing that.
Don't like it. Okay, another piece of housekeeping here. We talked last week, what's the difference between mercy and grace?
Oh,
do you remember that?
Yes.
And I had a kind of a bad analogy, but it kind of works. But I found a better one for people who are smarter than me on the internet. Are you ready for
it? I'm
ready. Okay. So mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace, conversely, is getting something you don't deserve. So mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Grace is getting something that you don't deserve. So... Picture this. You're racing down the road, handily breaking the speed limit, when suddenly you see blue lights flashing behind you. There's something you do deserve in this situation. You deserve a ticket and a fine. You broke the law, and there's a penalty for that crime. After a brief conversation, the officer lets you go with a warning. That's mercy. You deserve a speeding ticket, but you're not getting what you deserve. Now imagine that you have a project due at work. And try as you may, you have not been able to complete the task. Without it, you have no chance of achieving the bonus you have been working towards.
Mm.
At the last second, a colleague jumps in and saves the day, helping you with the last remaining pieces. This would be grace. No matter how hard you worked, you didn't deserve the bonus. You fell short, but somebody else came along and provided what you needed.
I kind of like that better than your Advil.
Yeah, you know? I know. Yeah, thank you. That is
accurate. The double opposite feels...
It's hard. Not getting what you do deserve and getting something you don't. So
it's
hard.
Negative.
It's like a double negative sort of thing.
But it's a weird, like, the mercy one is like a bad thing.
Right. That you should have been getting, but now you're not.
So then...
Whereas grace is something extra that you don't deserve to get, but you're getting something good that you don't deserve. One is... I know, I feel like a crazy person, but yeah, one is something bad that you don't get. One is something good that you do get, but you didn't deserve. One is something you deserve something, but you don't get it. One is you don't deserve it, but you do get it.
Well, but I feel like the
grace and mercy.
If we were gonna stay on that path, wouldn't it be? No, that would be mercy again. Then
yeah,
I was gonna say okay. So like the speeding ticket, you don't get a speeding ticket. You get right. Let off with mercy.
Right.
If you're at work and you don't finish a project, you would deserve like to be fired.
Right. Yeah.
And if you don't get fired,
so there's
then
the end of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You.
But in
that's
this scenario,
mercy.
They don't go with the fire. They're going with the bonus thing, so it's a good
well,
thing.
Well, that's why it's grace, because it's flipped.
Right, grace is a good thing, where mercy is a restraint of a bad thing.
They're so similar. Yeah. It's hard to distinguish
and
the
that's,
two,
that's
I think.
The, yeah. And that's why in church, they're often used very interchangeably,
one
and the other. They're almost used in the same sentence in the same exact way, but there are technical differences technically between the two.
We're all tongue-twisted.
It's been a long day.
Well,
it's the end of a Wednesday
night.
I feel
like that's why we talk about grace as something you don't deserve but you get. Like mm-hmm. as Lutherans, like we talk
right.
about grace more than other denominations, mm-hmm. but because all of this is something we don't deserve. Like
right.
when we're taking
yep.
communion, when
yep.
you know.
Yep.
So that think,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. What Jesus does on the cross. I mean, we're coming up on that as we have Holy Week in a couple of weeks. We're going to be talking a lot about grace,
mm-hmm.
And with that comes mercy, I suppose. If you're going to be talking about what we do deserve is punishment, but we're not getting it
right,
because
mercy
of the grace.
Feels like that, like
yeah,
you. It feels like the origin, the sin origin.
Yeah,
and so we do deserve death,
yeah,
right? And so,
yep.
but we receive
the wages
mercy,
of sin or death, right?
And,
yeah.
And as Lutherans, we have kind of flipped that of like, oh, we don't really deserve anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we get grace. Like, yep. so you're adding to the basis instead
yep.
of like mm-hmm. trying to take away what's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting. So,
well,
there you
there's
go.
A podcast in itself.
Yeah. That was
grace and mercy.
Yeah, that was 7 minutes right there. So if you don't, if, unless anybody else has a place to start, I've got a place to start conversation.
Sounds like you're ready.
Okay. You started with the kids at Children's Time this past Sunday, asking them where they see God.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see God,
oh,
Pastor Dana?
Man.
I know. Sorry.
Can Ron go first?
Oh,
Ron,
yeah,
where
everywhere.
Do you see God?
I'm totally immersed in nature and outdoor stuff. That's
yeah.
where I go to see him all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. In the whole growing thing and anything farm related, I mean, that's where I see him,
mm-hmm.
seriously.
Yeah.
And in friends and people around me day to day, you know, they're there.
Yeah. Our relationships
yeah.
and everything, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Today, not as much.
Well, that was kind of a kick, you know.
For those of
that.
You listening, either not in the state or listening in the future, it snowed a bunch today. It's April 2nd. It feels like it was April Fool's Day because, my gosh.
Yeah.
It seemed like a joke.
Well, it snowed yesterday, too.
And it snowed yesterday,
yeah,
too. But
it did.
It was bad. A big, big flakes today. But, yeah, I would echo that, Ron, I think, is it's always nature. It just takes my breath away. Mm-hmm. You know, you find yourself just wandering through the woods or on a lake, you know, listening to the loon song or something like that.
Man.
And it's just like, there I am, you know?
And
there's
you could,
God right there.
I could spend hours there and not feel the one bit bored, you know?
No.
There's always so much to
no.
observe and
there's a
feel.
Lot to explore. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Do you have an answer yet? Now
I
that
feel
we've
like, I mean, I feel like I admitted to this in my sermon that I'm bad at this.
Yeah,
so
no,
I,
it, yeah.
I don't, mm-hmm. I don't, this always, like, feels hard to me. I just spent yesterday at a funeral, and it, like, I don't know. If you don't see God at a funeral,
yeah.
like,
yeah,
there's something about just that life cycle. Like,
yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
when it really,
yeah,
that's where it really counts, huh?
Well, and then thinking about our Beatitudes of like, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted, and a whole event that happens
mm-hmm.
for the comfort of the living, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, and there you are in that
yeah.
room. Surrounded by all those people
mm-hmm.
that you have a relationship with, and
mm-hmm.
yeah, it all comes into stark reality
yeah.
of what this whole thing has been about.
Yeah,
yeah. I agree. I think a place I see God outside of the nature piece is, I would say in hospital rooms with people, or, you know, or if they're on home hospice or something. It's more home hospice than hospital, because hospital can be so sterile. Sanitary, yeah. And mm-hmm. sterile, and it's hard. There's a lot of you know, machines yeah. beeping and whirring at you, yeah. and there's yeah. people coming in and out of the room. But home yeah. hospice, if people are able to, and I know it's expensive, so that's why it's a yeah. luxury in a lot of ways, but home hospice can be so quiet.
Yeah.
You know, they're in their own bed, mm-hmm. or if they, you know, sometimes they need a hospital bed brought in for whatever reason for their care. But you know, they're surrounded by their personal effects, and you know, they've got their yeah. favorite vinyl records playing in the background, and you know, they're surrounded by family, and it's just so, that's also a place where it's just like, oh, I can feel the divine in this space. You know, it's a wild thing.
That has to be a tough part of your job. You know, when you signed on to do mm-hmm. this, you knew that was coming, but
yeah, it can be for sure. But it's also very rewarding in the same way.
I'm sure
it's heavy. Yeah. You know, it's taxing. I feel like I leave situations like that feeling very like just all my energy zapped out of me, but at yeah. the same time, it's, I feel very like this is what I was called to do. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of administrative tasks of this job that we have to do
yeah. mm-hmm.
that I feel like this is not why I became a pastor, to put together
to learn a sound system
and to
you
know,
be a pastor for
write reports and things yeah. like this. It's just like, oh my gosh, but that's a part of the job too. But it's that's what I wanted to do when I got into this whole call.
And there's a whole other like realm of ministry that happens in those places too, where sure. it's literally just being there. Like, because yeah, yeah. mm-hmm. I did my first one of those last year
yeah.
In California, of just being with the family, and like I didn't know what I was saying or mm-mm. reading or you know, doing.
There's no script
for it. And
there's
no magic words for it. It's just like,
but you comforted them.
Being there.
They
yeah.
felt comfortable
yeah.
having yeah. you there saying and whatever you said.
Yeah.
Right.
Whatever, yep. yeah,
and
what
so,
whatever you were called to do or say in that moment, that's what, you know, the Holy Spirit was mm-hmm. calling you to do. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's a, like you said, there's no
really,
there's no
like,
manual for it. There's no script. You just show up, and being a just a non-anxious
a really
presence in the
experience.
Rule. Oh my gosh, yeah, like, it's wild.
To be a trusted person for
I would
that.
Think there mm-hmm. are guides, though, that would help you
yeah.
come to some.
I mean, we go through CPE as a part of clinical pastoral mm-hmm. education, as a part of the pastoral training, depending on what program you're in. And it seems to change every year, depending on the seminary. But I had a year of CPE. I did the super extended CPE
did?
Unit. So it was once a week for a year. I was at the University of Minnesota Medical Center. I did the med-surg floor and the pre-surgical wing. So I was there early. I had to be there at like 6:30 in the morning, because a lot of surgeries wow. begin at like
yeah,
7 o'clock.
Yep. Start early.
So anyway, that was, you get some training in like how to enter into a stranger's space, you know, and how mm-hmm. to how to meet them where they're at and everything. But at the same time, it's like there's no two situations are exactly the same.
Well, and like, it's a presence thing. Like,
you just
there
have
are
to,
just
yeah.
some creepy people.
Who,
and some who become pastors, right? Where you're like, I don't want you in my hospital room.
Right,
like,
yeah, for sure.
That and you have some creepy friends of the family, too.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
They're negative people, about you
right.
being there, aren't
right.
they?
Yeah.
I think
where it's like, what's your purpose here?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
or they don't believe what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah. And people get
yeah.
weird at the end of life, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Family
yeah.
members start feeling anxious uh-huh. because there might be a will. Mm-hmm. There might be some legal stuff, loose ends, and so people get weird too about,
yeah.
you know, what are we gonna do with mom? And you know, people will come at you with that energy too. It's like,
yeah.
whoa, we don't. I'm just walking into this space, but yeah. To your point, Dana, about being a trusted person, that's a thing about this call too. It's like, there's, you can't earn this kind of trust in 100 lifetimes. You couldn't earn this kind of trust, and yet we're called to, you know, to baptize young people and marry people and bury people, and it's like mm-hmm. we get to be there for all these high highs and low lows, and it's like you couldn't earn that in a 100 lifetimes. There's just no chance. So it's a sacred thing, and it's a hard thing at times, but it's a holy thing too.
And I think if you were overly sensitive, it would be even harder. You know,
yeah,
Kathy mm-hmm. says I could never be a nurse because I get too personally involved.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. I could see that.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sensitive and emotional mm-hmm. so like that stuff is
yeah.
it's
taxing
weighty.
On me and maybe not in the moment, like I sometimes I can put it mm-hmm. off for a little bit, but I know my energy is gone from those kind of things sometimes, and it's draining.
Yeah. I couldn't be a nurse either. But
I could do a VBS week. Like
yeah, you could do a VBS week. I couldn't be a nurse.
So we could.
Just because I can't deal with all the bodily fluids. Yeah. That's, I could deal with the emotion of everything. Like,
just
I feel like I could
blood.
Handle
don't
that.
Bodily fluids makes it
no,
weird.
But it's more than just, I mean, there's other bodily fluids I don't want to be a part
all
of either.
All the spilled Kool-Aid,
so,
you mean?
To all the nurses out there, I feel like nurses and teachers are like salt of the earth.
Ooh,
people.
Shout out
nurses and teachers. You're amazing. I could never do what That's you do. Cool. That is an incredible call in and of itself. So you were talking about your text for this Sunday, the prodigal son.
Yes.
So just a reminder.
It didn't get enough time for how long you can talk about the prodigal son.
Yeah.
And you explained it well, but I still have empathy for that older son.
Right?
Can never, never get past that.
Yep.
Explain it again, Dan.
Yeah.
Well, I think we all have empathy for the older son.
I think we're supposed to.
Because we sit in that. I think that's who we relate to the most.
I think that's
who
we're supposed to.
Who we're supposed to. And, the older son wants his stuff. Like, even what the younger son took from the father, that was supposed to be the older son's.
Right.
He's supposed to inherit
that was his
everything.
Birth.
Me.
As the elder,
as
the elder, that's his birthright, is to get the entire sum.
Yeah, and his father says, here, take it, younger son, go for it. And,
what?
You know,
wouldn't you be upset?
If that's...
Yeah.
Man.
It's tough, and kind of...
But like a righteous anger.
Yeah, for sure.
Of like, that is mine, and you gave my stuff away.
Right.
And now he spent it all, and now he comes back, and you're going to throw a party for him?
Right.
Like,
yes.
No, I want that back.
Right.
What's he going to do to earn that back for me?
Right. So I think we're supposed to relate to the elder son, not the prodigal son.
It's another unfinished story, though. You don't know what happened beyond
that.
It's kind of like your fig tree.
Very good. I was going to say that, too. That was in my notes for this week, is I was going to ask, what do you think happens next in this parable? Do you think, does the elder come alongside the younger and embrace him like the father did? Does he storm out in bitter anger again? Does he leave? Does he now understand the goodness that's been shown to him? Because to your point, Dana, in your sermon, you were talking about how the elders received all this stuff. You know, he's had it so, he can only see what he's blinded by his bitterness towards the younger brother, that he can't see the goodness that he gets on a daily basis.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think happens next in the story? That's kind of the power of this parable as well.
I don't know. I like to think that he loves his brother enough to forgive him and, accept the whole process of the party and all of that.
Yeah, and come alongside.
But
who knows?
Come back in and back into the fold, kind of.
Yeah.
But, would you always have that nagging feeling in the back of your head, though?
You would think so.
Well, and we don't get a conversation between the older brother and the younger brother.
No, like, that would have been helpful
to
see,
right? The younger
brother
plans on apologizing to the father.
Right.
But he doesn't plan on apologizing and coming back to beg for forgiveness from the brother.
No.
Right. And that's sort of, that's why Jesus taught in parables, right? This is the purpose of a parable, is we are supposed to, and we have for the past, 2,000 some years or so, come back to this thing and go, we got to turn it over one more time, chew on it a little bit, go, what are we supposed to, there's always more things to uncover. And that's the next one, is what happens with the older? Why didn't we get a scene with the older and the younger hashing it out? Because wouldn't that have been great to hear the younger maybe defend himself or say where he's coming from or speak to his experience a little bit? And no, we don't get it. We just have to sit and, tie
and
the loose ends
And the
together.
Bible is full of stuff like that. It leaves you wondering. Yep. Wondering what's the next move? Yeah. Who did what? Who said what?
Yeah. It's true.
You asked, what happens next?
Yeah, what do you think?
Well, just as someone who has pouted through parties before, I'll just put that out there.
You're a party pouter?
Sometimes.
Dana's a party pouter?
When your brother gets the glory?
Yeah,
that's
right.
We don't need to get into that.
Please.
As someone who has pouted through parties, it is really hard to pick yourself up out of that pout and go into the party.
For sure.
And even pretend to, like,
Right.
You know,
especially because like, if everybody's seen you pouting, it's like, oh,
it's
now I have to, it's like,
right. Or it's, So I don't know if the older brother could pull himself together,
or if he just
to
says,
be
I'm
like,
have to
"You're
sit it out.
Right, Dad. Yeah. Let's go.
Here I come.
Do the cha-cha slide. Yeah, you know,
with bro.
Cheers to brother.
Yeah.
Or did he sneak in there and like make his own little plate to go and then go sit in his room by himself?
I don't think that day he did. It might have happened much later.
Yeah, like, you know what? I needed some time.
I need some time, Dad. Yep. Like, I hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to come into this party. I can't do it. So maybe, it took some time, and who knows? Did that do some damage to the relationship, or is that okay to take your time in moments like that? I don't know.
We also don't get the mom.
Yeah, where's mom in all this?
I imagine plays a mediator between her sons once in a while.
Probably. Bonks their heads together. Yeah,
probably.
Yeah. And and maybe the next day or something, sits them down or locks them in a room and
listen, you two.
Right, or something.
Figure this out. Yeah,
you know, somebody needs to finish all these Bible stories.
Yeah, right.
You need to write endings.
Yeah, write endings to all of
them.
The
hard part is to do that faithfully, right?
Like, I know.
We do that coming from our own experiences to say, as a party powder, this is what would have happened.
Actually, that would be an interesting book, though.
It would be
if you did take that angle.
Honestly, a party powder sounds
pretty good
book title.
Also, alternative title to your sermon on Sunday, which was Prodigal Purifying Process. So party powder would have been pretty good.
Party powder.
Stuck with the alliteration sort of thing. Speaking of prodigal, it's funny, we think of prodigal, like the definition of the word prodigal means like someone who ran away and came back. Prodigal means to spend money or resources freely and recklessly, wastefully and extravagantly, spending or using large amounts of money, time, energy, etc., especially in a way that is not very wise.
That would be him.
Which is so funny because people will often say of somebody who's left for us a period of time and comes back, oh, the prodigal son's returned. It's like we're misusing that word.
Not a positive thing.
No, it means something else. And it's been taken to the point where some definitions, when I Googled it, some definitions included as a secondary definition, you know, someone who leaves and comes back. In other ways,
because we've made it
because
that way.
We've turned it into that, which does language over time changes and adapts to the culture that it's in. You know, words only have the meanings that we give it. So, over time, prodigal has now come to mean something else completely.
Well, so in that actual definition, it doesn't include traveling away, but I think we associate it with it. It is in the Bible story, like traveled to a distant region.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's.
But he could have been, you know, in the next town.
Right. Oh, yeah, because he does leave. But the definition of the word prodigal means to spend extravagantly. So it makes sense that we've kind of turned it into that leaving and coming back thing. But originally, whoever penned that prodigal son, you know, because it doesn't say anywhere in the text that he's a prodigal son.
No.
Just whoever made the heading in the Bible, you know. And those things are man-made, or man-made. Yeah, well, people made, whatever.
It was men.
Yeah, definitely. it's just something somebody chose, but I think that's kind of an interesting thing. This connected to the Beatitude. Your Beatitude was blessed are the pure of heart, right? And you talked about that sort of purity process, and you touched a little bit on purity culture. Just a little bit. You didn't really dive deep into it because there's just not enough time. There's not enough time, and is it the most appropriate place for
I was thinking, too, after listening to your last podcast, you could do a longer sermon.
Every Sunday we
could. You really could go longer.
Yeah.
It wouldn't bother me. I know some of my friends like it short, but it wouldn't bother me.
People in this church, I think most people would be upset with a...
Really?
I mean, we've been talking for 25 minutes. It doesn't feel like it. No. I feel like I could give... long sermons every Sunday. It's hard work to cut the stuff out because then you got to be more concise and everything.
Yeah. I think there's a purpose in being concise, though.
Yeah, that's
true. Yes, I complain about the process that it's hard to cut it down that much and I could talk for 25 minutes, just me. But I think there is a point to get to, and, you know, there's probably scientific research of how long people pay attention, but I don't know. It's probably about 10, 15 minutes anyway. So once you've gone past that,
you start to lose them.
Yeah.
A little bit. And yeah, a little bit. In your talk about purity, sort of, you know, kind of touching on what purity means and everything, you talked about not wanting to see God in that in the purity that you finally one day achieve as like the end result.
Yeah.
You, because at that point, it's kind of too late. You know, if you ever get to that place of like, oh, I'm finally in a place where I'm living this pure, perfect life. You need God on the journey. You want to see God on the journey to whatever that pure of heart state is. And that way, purity kind of is the journey, not the destination.
Right.
And I loved that connection you made of we can relate it to the prodigal son who is, you know, painstakingly rehearsing that speech, I imagine, on his journey from the pigsty where he's just he's picking off the pieces of the pods that the pigs aren't eating, you know.
I can picture that.
Right? So he's dirty, he's filthy, he's starving, and he's crawling back and probably going over his head time and time again, all right, I'm going to say to my dad, I'm going to say, I'm so sorry, and can I do this and can I do that? That's kind of that process and his journey to the Father that he doesn't actually even get to give. You know, it says while he's a long way off, he's still a long way off. He's still far off. The Father sees him and rushes to him to embrace him and say, he's returned, you know, kill the fatted calf and all that stuff. So it's like he didn't even need to go about the purity thing of explaining why he's so wrong and the things he's going to do right now. He didn't even need it. That wasn't the destination.
Kind of the point. I was hoping to tie that in of like he didn't even get to that.
No, he was still in process of practicing his speech of I'm going to say this to my dad. Maybe then he'll accept me. He doesn't even need to start, and he's embraced, and that's such a powerful thing. And that does kind of prove the point that you were saying of the, you know, that purity thing isn't a, it's not about the end. It's about the journey to get there and where God is along the process. Yeah. That's a tough one.
Yeah. So I listened to a couple of sermons that were very purity culture and cringed a lot. But,
yeah, of course.
But I... And that is the, like, you must become pure to see God. Like, and this, it just felt so works righteous-y to me of, like, you have to do all these things and you have to be right with God and you have to blah, blah, blah. And I was like, but that's not where we're finding grace.
Right.
The things we don't deserve.
Right.
Yeah. The things we don't deserve.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like, the not deserving would be seeing God. So if we're receiving grace, we could see something that we don't deserve or shouldn't be seeing, and so was like, what's the point of getting all the way to the end to finally see God? Wouldn't that make life kind of like, what do we do here?
is this
just a cleaning up process? Like,
you should be walking with him along the way.
And if we see that as God is along the journey to that, that's the purifying process. God would be there every step of the way. Because the whole purity culture thing and the toxic nature of purity culture would be the Father saying, no, we're better without you. You know, you came back and I appreciate all those things you're saying. It sounds very nice. But you know, you took your half of the inheritance, and you went and you
blew
it.
We're getting rid of the toxic stuff.
We're gonna get rid of you, because I mean, most families have a black sheep of the family.
Most definitely.
There's
a big generalization, but
I feel like most families do. I remember. I mean,
and if you don't know who it is, it's probably you.
Well, I don't mean black sheep as in like they're completely ostracized.
No, but there's always one.
There's always one. and that's a very normal thing, right? A person in the family who pushes the norms, you know, and the boundaries.
Pushes the boundaries.
And they're constantly doing that. And it's easy in those moments to just say, like,
I feel like you really know about, like, you're like, this is it.
We're all thinking about somebody, right? And to them you say, you know, not in our family. You know, you're out, you're dead to me. Like, that's when it's at its worst, right? Is that black sheep can be to the point where it's like, you're gone, you're dead to us, leave and never come back. You know, that's a lot of people's reality. And for this younger son, that could have very easily been his reality, right? And that's,
which would have made the rest of the family's life so much easier.
Yeah,
to be like, let's just get rid of this younger son.
Because there's no way that this little community that they live, there's no way they didn't hear about the son.
Right.
Who stole half the family money and went off and was living with the pigs.
But it wasn't just one day either. The son's like, Oh, let me.
Period of time.
Yeah, it had to have like little things here and there, little. Yep. Yeah.
So that's the harm of the purity culture, is it can lead to this point where you just cut people out of your life left and right because maybe they don't fit in perfectly to whatever. So that, you know, the father could have very easily said, "You're out. You're dead to me. That's, you know, that's it. That's the end of it." And I think that would have been culturally, sadly, an okay thing, because that's what a lot of people experience. That's real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this comes around once a year, usually. I remember this from last year, too.
Yeah.
And I had the same struggle in my head with it.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. So.
What's the struggle in your head?
Just about, you don't know the whole story.
Yeah.
You don't know. There's so many missing pieces.
Yeah. So to kind of distill this beatitude in the context of the gospel that we had for this week, a pure heart is about seeing and loving others as they are. And this, you touched on this in your sermon. And not only seeing and loving them as they are, but also seeing God in them, in that person, so that we can love them and serve them as they are, in, you know, not trying to get them to conform to a box that we've prescribed for them, or wait until they do X, Y, and Z right things. You know, they have to do, they have to do something to earn, you know, getting back to the grace and mercy thing. A lot of our culture is set up that way of like, well, if somebody's going to be receiving such and such benefit, they should be doing X, Y, and Z to earn it, you know, to say that they're worthy of it. But this beatitude of the pure in heart, blessed are the pure of heart, it's about that purity of seeing somebody as they are in the moment. And that's exactly what happens with the youngest. And that's why he was able to receive such mercy from the Father, which is a really powerful thing for all of us to hear again, because we're going to just keep hearing these stories.
Well, I think that's why, like, vulnerability feels so pure and like holy when you're in, when you're in the presence of vulnerability and like with someone in those kind of spaces and in those kind of conversations, because I also think that we put on faces a lot, or and not even knowingly, but just like we have a presentation to people,
the world,
to the world that that happens. And so I don't want to call that unpure to put on a presentation, but it but it's not like a true reality either.
Yeah, it's not your authentic self.
No.
Any other prodigal son, blessed are the pure of heart thoughts? If not, we can transition into Kenzie's thing.
Yeah, let's talk about Kenzie's.
Yeah, that's how about that? Wasn't that great?
Yeah.
Yeah, good job, Kenzie. That was amazing.
Peacemakers.
Peacemakers.
You guys are modern-day peacemakers, aren't you, pretty much?
Try to be as much as we can.
I keep trying to think of other examples of modern-day peacemakers.
Yeah, he's a modern-day peacemaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
They're hard right now.
It's a hard thing to do.
Yep.
It's a hard thing to do. You definitely have to, you know, speaking of vulnerability, you have to open yourself up and be vulnerable. You have to stick your neck out pretty far to try to be a peacemaker, especially in today's world, because it's, you're liable to get your head chopped off in one way or another, right?
Yeah.
And with social media being what it is, you know, people are very quick to judge and throw stones, and they can throw stones comfortably from a safe distance through social media, and they don't have to worry about anything, you know.
Right.
So anybody who stands up to whatever, they're gonna get hit back.
Yeah.
One way or another. I liked Kenzie's the way that she explained, you know, to be a peacemaker means you have to be a person of action. You know, there's an action to it. It's not a passive thing. You can't just sit back and wait for peace to happen around you, you know.
Right.
It starts having this sense of like, it starts with me. You know, I can be a peacemaker in what I do and who I am and how I serve and how I advocate for people. It's like you gotta be someone who gets up and does it
well. And the word that she used too is creates peace. So,
yeah,
and I in that I heard a little bit of, well, creativity, but mm-hmm. of making something out of stuff that's already going on, too.
Like, right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's action, but there's, I don't know, like an organic
yeah.
movement to
wherever
it.
You are.
Yeah.
Because someone like Kenzie, you know, she's a child. She doesn't have the agency right. like we do. She can't get in her car and go drive mm-hmm. to wherever, you know, to go create that piece.
Yeah.
But she can sure do it organically mm-hmm. in her classroom, you know, where she is most days of the week, or at her, you know, she's on the dance team. So through dance, you know, there's a lot of ways mm-hmm. that she finds herself, I'm sure, and like you said, in her words, creating peace.
Yeah.
In wherever you find mm-hmm. yourself, you can be an agent of that creation mm-hmm. As long as you're brave enough to.
Yep.
Stick your neck out and do it.
Yep.
Yeah. I liked her story about her not wanting to do the dishes.
I was pulling that one out of her.
I related.
Where are we making peace?
I related to that heavily. I am the person in my house that does the dishes. Yeah. And
me too, because
yeah,
I live alone.
Yeah, that's so true. You're the one who does the dishes,
do too,
and vacuum the floor.
I do them by hand. I know we've got a dishwasher, yeah. but I don't like the dishwasher.
I got a dishwasher.
We've got a dishwasher,
yeah.
but
I don't do the dishes.
That's only, I mean, once we get the day's dishes, we're four people. So once you get the day's dishes, just plates,
oh, true.
That yeah. fills up. So like, yeah. I do have a lot of stuff to hand wash on a daily basis. Yeah. So yeah, we use the dishwasher, but I also hand wash a bunch of stuff. And
I don't mind that.
Hand washing dishes is gross. Food stuck to it. Nasty. I don't like it. But it has to be done, and, you know, somebody's got to do it, and she's got to go out of her comfort zone, and that was her connection to it, which I liked.
The connection to
true.
It, too, is, like, peacemaking is things you don't want to do.
Yeah.
Like, that's the...
You got to get out of your comfort mm-hmm. zone. I don't want to do that.
Okay, that's cheesy and, like, okay, whatever, but, yeah, it's...
Yeah. From
like,
her...
Oh, nah.
In her perspective, like, you know, in school or whatever, if you're in the lunchroom and you see somebody getting bullied or someone
right.
getting put... You gotta. That's
you're not
very
a peacemaker
uncomfortable.
By sitting around watching.
No,
it.
And it's very uncomfortable to get up out of your chair and go, "Hey,
you
can't do that."
Would you intervene? See, that's the thing. A lot of people are afraid to intervene
because it's uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get out of your comfort zone
mm-hmm.
and be that creator of peace.
But it puts in, you know, the opposite of peacemaking is not confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
No,
there is confrontation in peacemaking.
Often,
yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so I think people, I'm not a confrontational person. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
but
that's
you
fine.
You have to if you want to, like, if you want that kind of
right.
peace around you, you got to step into it.
Because
sometimes.
You're going to be seeing injustice somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and it takes somebody standing up to say, that's not right.
Right.
What you're doing isn't right, and I don't want to ruffle feathers, I don't want to create conflict, but at the same time, I can't sit idly by and just twiddle my thumbs while it happens.
Yeah.
Or you could, and a lot of people do that because it's a hard thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was good. I liked her connection to doing dishes.
I'm glad you coached her because I think she would have been a little scared just on her own, you know. But
she
did really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but she did a great job.
Right. She did a great job. And we were trying to come up with a way to do it together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I had kind of said, what if we do it in a way where you're not looking at everyone out there?
All by yourself.
You're looking at
that.
Me. Like,
yep.
you just look at me.
That was good.
We can do it.
Yeah. Because it's a hard thing. I mean, even with you up there, how many mm-hmm. people in our congregation would have got up and sat in that seat across from you and talked
very
little?
Few.
So it was incredible what she did.
But
yeah,
prepared.
as somebody who, you know, has expressed, you know, an interest in doing that, Kenzie's always volunteering for stuff. So it's like,
that's cool.
Is this something you want to do? This was a great way for her to sort of dip her toes mm-hmm. in the water of it and see.
So our practice a couple weeks ago was we just took a couple chairs up there and sat and hung out up there.
Yeah.
We did.
Not even rehearsing. We just hung out there
just
to get comfortable. On,
get in the space.
This
we're talking
is what
about
we'll be doing.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And just to sit in the space.
It takes a while to get used to a space, too.
Yeah, and to remember that, people sitting there are like
mm-hmm.
in awe that you're even doing it because it's scary.
Yeah, that was great. I'm very impressed by what she could put together. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, most
she could.
Public speaking is a hard thing to do. It's a bigger fear than death.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
When people
really?
Are surveyed about their biggest
fears,
public speaking is ranked
that's
above
weird.
Death. So more people would rather die than get up in front of a crowd
that's
and talk.
Weird.
It's weird, but it's true. It's a hard thing to do. so vulnerable thing.
I had talked to Kenzie about this, but I didn't want to make it seem like we only chose her to do this beatitude because she's a child. Like,
because no. attached to like, this right, beatitude like, is...
Hey, as a performative, you know, mm-hmm. this beatitude says, blessed are the peacekeepers, they're children of God. Like, yeah. And you're a child.
Right.
Easy connection. But, and so I was trying to work that out of it a little bit, of mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. To kind of present it that way, but not to say this is...
Right.
A child peacekeeper, right? Like right. We can she's only a, do it when we're yeah. children.
She's a full-fledged peacekeeper.
You know,
I happens
think she,
to be a child.
Right? I really think she could have done any one of the Beatitudes. So.
Oh, yeah, right. absolutely. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it worked yeah. out well that it was the one that mentions children, but yeah. I yeah. do like that, yeah, you kind of pushed mm-hmm. pushed it into a different direction because mm-hmm. it could get into sort of like, here I am, the token child in this, yeah, oh, you yeah. know, whatever.
Oh, yeah, we all
but,
know those churches.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, the young person, you're mm-hmm. going to do everything.
You're the young person. And right. I'm sure you were that person at your church. I was that person.
I've been known to be that
I've been
person.
Known to be the young, yeah, obviously, which is why we're pastors now. Because yeah. somebody
look at that.
Was like,
it worked.
You'll do it.
It did work.
Yeah, it did. I mean, yeah, it makes sense.
You'll do it.
You'll do it, sure.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, yeah. but that was, I liked that connection. That
well, and child of God is not like child.
You are a child.
Child.
Yeah.
We're all children.
We're all children of God.
It's an identity of
yeah.
all
you know?
Of us. So.
Yeah. yeah. And, you know, Jesus says, if you want to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you got to be like one of these,
that's
you
it.
Know, to
yeah.
be like a child of God. You have to have mm-hmm. that mindset, and that's yeah. what we're called to do. And I liked that our reading tonight was from the Spark Story Bible. That was cool.
Okay.
That was cool.
mm-hmm.
Is that the Bible that's sitting right there?
Yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
I'm sure. Yeah.
I got to thumb through that someday.
Yeah,
oh, they're really fun.
Good that's illustrations.
Cool.
Great illustrations, and really, it's good theology, too,
yeah,
really.
The
yeah.
way that they write some of those, you're like, oh, that's what
I didn't
yeah.
think
yeah.
of that.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh.
You often are, I'll often read through it and go, I never thought about that is the, because it's a
yeah.
children's, it's a book
yep.
aimed for children, so they have to have a nice little bow on every story
yeah.
of like, and this is what Jesus was talking about. And
yeah.
it's like,
oh,
is that what Jesus was talking about? I'm like, I guess
oh.
that's one. And in a lot of ways, it's like, well, that's one take of it. You know,
yeah.
you can't blame them for it. But it is really, I like it because it does, it mm-hmm. pares it down to its essence. And that's a good thing. We need
yeah.
that more. Sometimes.
I think a lot of adults probably need that. They would
uh-huh.
help them understand it.
Yeah.
I think children's sermons, like, on a Sunday morning are harder than a regular sermon because
really?
You're like, wait, everyone's paying attention.
Everybody's
to this.
Paying because people
this is like the
and people
little
will tell me, yeah. they'll say, I learn more from the children's sermon than I do, and I'm like, oh dang, I gotta
I believe
really make sure.
Oh,
yeah, I know. I like that kind of to end it, that Kenzie was talking about, you know, even when we fail, there's grace and forgiveness, you know, that's abundant in this
mm-hmm.
peacemaking thing. So we shouldn't fear being a peacemaker, because even when we fall short of reaching our goal, there's, you know, there's grace for that as well. It is a hard
yeah.
thing to do to be a peacemaker. Like we said, you got to really stick your neck out. You got to get up. You got to live in that uncomfortable space. But for all of us out there that I think we all get up every morning trying to be a peacemaker, doing our part in the world, to know that even when we fall short, even when we fail, there is grace in that too. That's helpful.
Well, there's a like, okay, for the dishes example, you know, okay, attempting to be a peacemaker and she
yeah.
helps her mom with the dishes
mm-hmm.
and washes the dishes wrong or what, let's say she breaks a dish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is her mom really going to be like, why'd you wash the dishes?
Yeah.
Like she would,
no.
you know, there's not, yeah, okay, maybe she'd be like, what happened here? But
mm-hmm.
there's not going to be like a
right.
what were you doing?
No.
Yeah, that's a good connection to it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, should be a thanks for helping.
Yeah.
This happens. Like,
yeah. It's a
here's
thing
your
that
grace.
Happens. Yeah,
it
it's
happens.
Fine.
Whatever.
Yeah. Funny.
Yeah.
Well, that's all the notes I had. I don't know if you had any other thoughts or anything you want to bring to it.
No, we are. Really?
We're at 44 minutes.
Yeah, and we're
wow. I can't believe they run that long, but it went fast.
That's what you
it
said.
Really, it really
you said,
goes fast.
I can't believe last week you guys talked for 45 minutes.
That's,
and
that's
I said,
amazing.
We'll get there, and it's, I mean, you just
you
sort
could
of.
You go an hour and a half easy.
Oh, easily, yeah. I got a lot more
I mean,
things to say.
We sit and talk
but,
around stuff all the time.
That
so
is, yeah.
We sit around and talk.
Yeah,
all the
whatever.
Time, so we could just record
that's,
it.
That's the awesome. And that was the genesis of this this exact podcast. Is we would sit down after worship, Dana and I, and we'd go, "Oh yeah, I like the way you brought that up. Well, have you thought about this? Yeah. Oh, how about this? And oh, what did you edit out and whatever?" Yeah. And we're like, "We could write this down somewhere, or maybe we could record it." And then it was like, "Hey, a podcast word."
So am I getting ahead of myself, or do you know the sermon for this Sunday topic?
Ooh, preview.
Yeah, preview a little bit. You're getting a you bit don't. Ahead of yourself.
I figured.
Because I
have. You don't have to tell me if you don't want to.
Well, it is. It's Jesus is anointed for burial. So it's the story of Mary using the very expensive nard, which is this like really expensive fragrant oil. And Judas is like, "We could sell that oil. What are you doing wasting it?
Yeah.
Anointing Jesus with this." And
so we're going to dunk everyone's heads.
We're
going to
dunk
oil.
Everybody in oil.
That's service.
But I am going to get some senses involved on Sunday. So
that would be good.
Yeah. So that'd come ready to smell sense. And experience some different things. That's a little preview.
Thank you.
The bishop will be with us next
That's
Sunday,
right.
which
Wear
is
purple.
Very exciting.
Wear purple.
Yeah. Wear purple on right. Sunday, so that'll be fun. And the bishop is going to join us on the podcast, too, afterwards, which
there
is really
go.
Cool. So it'll be fun to hear from Bishop Jen after this, too. So, thank you, guys. Thank you, Ron, for joining us
today.
It
was fun. Thanks for having me.
Good. Of course. Yeah. And thank you all for listening. Thank you for helping us continue the conversation. And we want to continue it with you as well. So if you have more thoughts on this or questions or whatever, leave us a comment, call us here at the church, drop by. We'd love to hear your thoughts. People stop us more and more saying, "Hey, listen to the podcast. I like this thing, that thing, or I had a thought or a question about this." So keep doing that. This is fun. This is supposed to be a more of a dialogue than a monologue. So I appreciate you all listening, and talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
All right.
See ya.